Blog Talk Radio.
I think I had 7,000 when I left graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a point where it was like 18,000. I got it down to 9,000 and then logged in one morning to make a big payment. And they had changed something, and my big payment would only cover the interest. And I felt so crushed and just like, I'll never get ahead, that I gave up and just started using my cards again. Eventually that led to depression and some health things. And then it was just piled, like there was a really hard couple of years where the debt just got to be too much.
Welcome to the Midday Money Show Rewind. I just made that up, folks. I'm Toni Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. My throat is still not at 100% this week. I'm still dealing with a viral infection that could or could not be strep. Still waiting on lab results. As such, I'm going to let my voice rest for the rest of the week and dig back into the Midday Money Show archives and bring you some oldies but goodies in terms of interviews that haven't been shared in a while. We're going to dig back into the archives and look at this week, people that have some pretty inspiring debt-free stories. Time for us to really focus on that again. So while I heal, I want you to be inspired.
Although I'm really looking forward to today's debt-free story, I wanted to start with this thought. One of my church members recently, in passing a few weeks ago, kind of mentioned something that really spoke to me and spoke to this journey that many here in Team Debt-Free are really going through. Remember, folks, comparison is the thief of joy. Theodore Roosevelt, as best as I can tell, is credited with saying this: your path will not look like mine, it will not look like my current guest's path, and it surely is not supposed to. I love a good debt-free story, and many of you have heard me say this is one of the ways that I kept myself motivated to stay focused on my 7-year journey out of debt. But I want you to do is take the inspiration from today's journey as motivation that you can and will reach your debt-free goals. You'll pay off those credit cards. You'll be free from the cycle of car payments. You'll learn to love living without student debt. You can do all of that, folks, as long as you do not give up. So take the inspiration from our stories, but don't compare yourself. Don't beat yourself up, most importantly, because your story or your situation doesn't look like my guest who we're about to talk about today. So speaking of student loan debt, Amanda Page recently gave the peace sign to her student loan debt when she got serious. She kind of made a dramatic exit from the life of student loan payments. So as of February 2016, so just a few months ago, as of the recording of this podcast, she is debt-free. She's a dreamer and dreamed of a life that included travel, my favorite thing, and planning for the future. But that dream was a little muddled under the crushing weight of student loan debt. So for 15 years, she was managing the payments until she started her blog, dreambeyonddebt.com, as a way to keep herself accountable to the dream of being debt-free. Today, Amanda's my guest on the Midday Money Show. So welcome, Amanda. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So I will let you do the honors, but first let me say congratulations. So
thanks.
Tell us, how much debt have you paid off?
I paid off $47,554 of student loan debt as of February.
Well, again, congratulations. I know that feels like a huge weight off of your shoulders, that you don't have to worry about that anymore, that it's done, it's out of your life, because you're a dreamer.
Totally.
Because you're a dreamer, and I love that, because, again, like I said, I'm a dreamer myself, and I live to travel, and I love to listen to other people's travels, so just indulge me here. Now that you have the student loans out of your life, and because you love travel as well, what's the next kind of interesting travel destination you're eyeing?
I've got my eye on Australia.
Oh.
And I'm really torn. I'm thinking of Australia. I'm thinking of Iceland. I keep going on to the Boots and All ticket builder, where you can kind of like plug in all your destinations and it'll map it out. You don't have to buy a ticket when you do it, but I keep playing with that. I haven't ventured too far into it just because the goal after paying off debt was to buy a house, and I just moved last Sunday. So although I still play around with the builder, I'm a good year out from even thinking about making a purchase.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, congratulations the second time then. That's another amazing accomplishment. You're really busy. Busy in a good way, productive busy. Okay. So, well, let's talk about a little bit of your backstory about how you came to, I guess, incur the debt. And was the debt, the $47,000, did that include only student loans, or were there other types of debt involved as well?
The $47,554 was just student loan debt. I graduated with a master's degree in 2004, and I think the total for my undergraduate and graduate degree was around $48,000. And I say that I immediately get a bitter taste in my mouth because I got fully funded for my graduate degree. I even got a stipend, and I still took out student loans.
Okay.
Yeah, just not even thinking about the future, not even thinking about how that would affect me. I could not imagine living on the stipend alone. And I know, like, other people in my program did it. I just could not wrap my head around that for some reason.
So the stipend covered maybe did it cover just your tuition or books and things like that? And did you take the loan out for living expenses?
I did take the loan out for living expenses, although, no, I got a tuition waiver. I mean, I got fully funded, and then I got a living stipend on top of that. It was $8.95 a month.
Uh-huh.
And I was living in my graduate degree is from Alabama, and I mean, I was living in a really inexpensive town.
Uh-huh.
My rent for a really cute one-bedroom was $2.95 a month. I mean,
ooh, wow. Okay.
Right. I could have done it, but I didn't. So
mm-hmm.
I created that debt for myself.
Right. How much debt did you actually add on to, I guess, the debt that you had from undergraduate as a graduate student?
You know, I don't know. I consolidated them almost immediately.
Okay.
So in my head, it's 25-20.
Mm-hmm.
25 of undergraduate debt and 20 of graduate debt. But I'm not sure if those numbers are real or if I imagine them when I...
Okay.
I've never gone back to look, actually.
And do you think it had something to do, because maybe $20,000 as an undergrad, because that still seems not, you know, that doesn't seem crushing. And maybe kind of thinking about them separately, $20,000 doesn't seem so bad at one pop, and $20,000 doesn't seem so bad at another pop. Do you think kind of thinking of them separately like that made you a little bit more comfortable signing on the dotted line at least the second time around?
Possibly, although I honestly did not even think of it.
Mm-hmm.
The second time around, debt is kind of a family thing. Like, you know, how am I going to do this? Well,
mm-hmm.
I'll finance it. That's what I did without
mm-hmm.
really blinking.
Well, I think a lot of people can, I know I can, because especially at that age, just like you don't have any concept of what payments are going to mean to your life. You don't have any concept of like adding this debt on top of other living expenses. Let me ask you this. Once you graduated from your master's program, how did your employment prospects look? Were you able to find a job in your major field pretty easily, or did you have any challenges there?
I went kind of an unconventional route. So my master's degree is a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing. So when we talk about employment prospects, we might as well just giggle.
Why do you say that?
I didn't realize when I went to, this is how naive I was at the time, I mean, not just in terms of money, but just overall, I did not realize when I went to graduate school that really what I was doing was being groomed to become a professor. You know, there was this path, sort of. I did do a year as the assistant to the director, where I produced the writing series, and I did some arts administration and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I left the program, or when I graduated, I left the program a year early and moved with student loan money. Student loan money made this possible. I moved out to Los Angeles and
mm-hmm.
got a job in the hotel industry, of all places. And I was working in brand management
mm-hmm.
and writing my thesis.
Okay.
So I moved on loan money and consolidated my loans before I graduated, and then it took me a couple years. I was living in Los Angeles for no reason other than I just wanted to live there, and didn't really start thinking about career
mm-hmm.
kind of work
mm-hmm.
until a little bit later.
Okay. So that kind of gives us, and I think a lot of us, again, can kind of relate to this is how you, what you do after high school. You know, if you're kind of pushed in that path, you go to college. And if you, you know, necessarily can't pay for it, then you get loans. And then maybe if you want to further your career, you go to graduate school. So that's kind of a very normal and relatable and understandable path that many of us find ourselves into. Unfortunately, many of us find ourselves also exiting that path and coming, you know, into kind of adulthood or being on our own with a decent amount of student loan debt. The average, I believe, student loan amount that undergraduates are graduating with is just under $30,000. So that said, a lot of people can relate to your story. Now, you talked about the $47,000 being only related to student loan. Did you have other debt at this time as well?
I did. Let's see. I'm trying to think. So right after college, I had the opportunity to travel to Europe. And when I say I had the opportunity, this kind of extroverted friend of mine was pushing me to go, and I had never even been on a plane before, and I had no idea how I would finance a trip like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I ended up opening a credit card to do it.
Okay.
And that kind of started the slow decline into I don't really know what to call it besides I came out of college with a credit card as not just an emergency fund, but it also funded this incredible trip that changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I had financed it, so who knew that, you know, 15 years later, that same pattern would change my life again. Through the years, I used credit cards as emergency funds, and, you know, a couple of times I did get really aggressive and try to pay it down, and the lowest I got it, let's see, I think I had $7,000 when I left graduate school,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a point where it was like $18,000. I got it down to $9,000, and then one of the companies, I remember so clearly, I logged in one morning to make a big payment, and they had changed something,
mm-hmm.
like almost overnight, and my big payment would only cover the interest, and I just, I felt so crushed and just like I'll never get ahead that I gave up and just started using my cards again. Eventually that led to, well, I mean, I can just tell you there was a move and job loss and some depression and some health things, and then it would just pile, like there was a really hard couple of years where the debt just got to be too much, and mm-hmm. I ended up declaring bankruptcy.
Okay. So, and that was on the credit card. How much debt was discharged through the bankruptcy?
I think around $30,000.
Okay. And was it Chapter 7 or Chapter 11?
7.
It was, so it was a complete discharge. So how did that process, I guess, impact? Because only the credit card debt could be discharged. You still, at this point, you still had the 40-some odd thousand dollars mm-hmm. of student loan debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I can imagine that it's pretty challenging and stressful to deal with. So how did coming through that process of bankruptcy impact how you looked at your student loan debt?
You know, that's a good question, because when I think back, I felt this huge burden lifted, and at first it was just like, but I still have this other burden.
mm-hmm.
But I did feel some kind of determination to do something then about my financial situation. You know, I did feel like I had a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
I felt humbled in the best way possible. I felt like I'd been given mercy. Like, it was just, you know, I never really thought that I would, and I'm going to say it this way, although it's for a specific reason, but I never thought I'd be the kind of person who declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of declaring bankruptcy, I realized how ridiculous it is to think in terms of the type of person who declares bankruptcy, because there is no type.
I am so glad you said that. I am so glad you said that. It's a tool, right? And we do, we kind of have this, I guess, stigma, if you will. You know, a stigma attached to the idea of somebody who, the type, air quotes, of person who files bankruptcy, but it's a tool, and unfortunately sometimes, you know, like you say, life happens. You had a string of various events and maybe things piled on, and you took advantage, you know, you took advantage of a tool that's out there to give you a fresh start, right?
Yes, yes, and it was a really hard decision to do so, but I think what it also did too is it opened up, I was no longer then also the type of person who got themselves in $48,000 worth of student loan debt. Again, it's just, you know, I realize how common it is, but I think a lot of people, I know my friends and I have talked about this a lot, although we're all looking at various amounts of student loan debt and we understand that it's a national problem, we still have a tendency to make it so personal. Like, right. I can't believe this is a problem that I have. I can't believe this is who I am, that I'm carrying this debt. Like, but it shifted that for me, definitely.
Okay. So I'm hoping people hear that. Again, there's no type, you know, and we don't want to be in the situation. But, you know, if your health is involved, if there's no way out of your situation, this is an option. Now, it's not necessarily something we want to abuse or take advantage
right.
of or just live without any type of responsibility because we know that these type of tools exist. Of course not, because there are ramifications. So what are some of the ramifications that you did experience because of filing bankruptcy, if any?
Well, you know, right after I filed, I mean, I waited a year before I got a secured credit card to start rebuilding my credit. I was just so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just so I didn't want to think about credit or debt. And I was also very focused on a problem that I identified with, which was under-earning. Going back briefly to what I was being groomed for in graduate school, you know, the expectation is that you become, you know, something in the academic world.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, and this is a whole other problem in higher education, in a lot of cases, the only jobs available, especially if you want control over your geography, are adjunct positions, so teaching part-time at
mm-hmm.
a number of different colleges to
mm-hmm.
equal
mm-hmm.
full-time work. And I was doing that, and I was not happy with my salary, and I'm scrambling to build a decent emergency fund. And I started going through this book with a friend called Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanny. I had read through it before, and each time I'd read through it through the years, I was kind of afraid of, oh, goodness, look at these exercises. I was afraid to confront what was in there. But after bankruptcy, I was like, what do I have to lose? What do I have to be afraid of?
Right.
So I started working through that and looking at my situation kind of through that lens of under-earning. And I worked really hard for about a year just to work on my mindset, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurred to me, hey, I might be able to take on more work
mm-hmm.
at higher pay, you know, weed out some of the lower paying jobs
mm-hmm.
and focus on paying off this debt, the rest of this debt.
Well, good for you. Good for you. So let's talk about then your strategy for paying off the rest of your debt. After about 8 years of paying at least the minimums or maybe the minimum plus a little bit extra, you had made a dent of how much in your student loan debt?
$1,079.
So
it hurts. It hurts.
Right.
I mean, I was taking the payment like it was a car. You know, I was just making this monthly payment. And then when I finally stopped to look, I was like, that's it?
Right, after 8 years.
That's it.
And plus, 8 years plus not just paying the minimum. So you're thinking you're doing
right,
something
right.
because you're paying a little bit more. But, yeah, not a significant amount of progress on a large bill. So let's talk about then the strategy that you ultimately employed for going ahead and tackling the rest of your student loan debt.
Sure. I did two things. I reduced my expenses and I increased my income. And I kind of created this experiment in my head. I didn't want to say I set a goal of paying it off in one whole year, but I did think, I wonder if I can pay it off in a year. I was already living pretty close to the bone. I had moved in with a roommate right before bankruptcy, so my rent was already really reduced. I think I kept my car and my car payment in bankruptcy, but paid it off. It's an older vehicle anyway, but I had paid it off in a year later. So I was coming from a place, like, I think at that point I had no debt besides the student loan debt, and I just took inventory is what I did. I took inventory of the tools at my disposal. I looked at my life, and I was like, who are my contacts? Where can I find extra work or pick up extra work? You know, what can I do with what I have?
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the conclusion I can teach more, and I reached out to people I knew at different universities in the area. I also had a contact at a temp agency that I had placed me over the summer between semesters. I reached out to her and got temp work. worked over breaks, Christmas breaks, and I applied, and for the first 6 months of my student loan debt repayment, I applied every day for some kind of side gig, whether it be focus group or I had applied for a job scoring exams, and I did that part-time mm-hmm. during the year. That was for 2 months of the year, actually. Like I said, I temped. I sold things on Craigslist, but I really did not need any more. And I sold things, like a friend gave me a drum kit, and I just, because I was living with a roommate and I didn't have anywhere to put it, I just sold it. Okay. You know, I just let go of things that I typically would have held on to. And that was really my strategy, just keep my expenses low. When I say keep my expenses low, my students started making fun of me for, where's your bag of cheese crackers? I would buy boxes of cheese crackers at Aldi's and put them in baggies, and I had them with me always, so I always had a snack, so okay. I wasn't, like, running into the gas station to grab peanuts or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
just little things like that. I made my own coffee and carried it with me. It took some planning every morning, you know, make sure I have my water bottle, make sure I have my coffee. Do I have my bag of cheese crackers? But yeah, it really made such a huge difference.
Now let me ask you this question. First of all, two questions. Do you still eat your cheese crackers?
Totally. So much so that my cousin got me a little cheese cracker earrings. Like, we were laughing at. Yeah, I'm known for my cheese crackers.
I love that. But secondly, how much income would you say you were able to produce during this period of kind of really focused debt payoff?
I just had my taxes done, and I think through the year, through all the things that I put together, I made around $70,000.
Wow. And this is, as a professor,
the most,
part-time, adjunct.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is incredible and mm-hmm. unheard of. You know, all we really hear about adjuncts is, you know, food stamps and
right.
hard times. And,
right.
and that is a reality. I had also taken a position before I started. I got a part-time position teaching online, and which led into my full-time position now. And I'm so grateful for this position. I mean, it is really my dream job. I attribute it to opening myself up like that and looking at my contacts. And you know what I mean? I really had just, I used my network for the first time in my life. Before, when I was afraid to ask people for references or to ask people for help,
mm-hmm.
I had already been so humbled by the bankruptcy. I was really by like, well, what do I have to lose, you know?
mm-hmm.
And it had led to this incredible year where I was asking for help, asking for what I wanted, and I ended up with this incredible full-time job.
Just so people can get a sense of how much time you actually spent in this, like, kind of super focused state of being, if you will, when did you actually decide, like, okay, I'm going to attack this $47,000 of student loan debt and get this out of my life until we get to February of 2016?
I decided probably the beginning of December 2014.
Okay.
I had contacted the temporary agency, and she had placed me in a position. And when I went there, they were like, bring a book. You're not going to have a lot to do. And instead of sitting there with a book the entire time, I brainstormed blog ideas. I was reading on my phone other personal finance blogs, and just, I was like, I might give this a shot.
Okay. And then so Dream Beyond Debt was born, and then we have mm-hmm. little over a year later, you know, as
yeah.
a part-time adjunct professor, you were able to retire $47,000
yeah.
in student loan debt.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah. And I do want to say on my blog, in the top navigation, I've got the debt where you can link month to month the payment days, and I break down on those posts how I accumulated the money.
Oh, wow, wonderful. Okay. Everybody's not going to be able to pay off $47,000 in just over 1 year's time. But I like the fact that, again, use this as inspiration. Look at what you can do, what resources you have, you know, what networks you have access to, and kind of think about, you know, ways that you can sacrifice. Do you still live with your friend?
No, I don't.
So again, it's temporary, right? It's a temporary situation of
yes.
on the time frame of your lifespan, and now your entire life has changed. And so, I
yes.
just, yeah. Congratulations to you. I wish you well.
Yeah. So it was funny. It was like I was debt-free for a week. I made my final payment on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, and I made an offer on a house exactly the next Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, life goes on, and the bankruptcy hasn't, like, necessarily stopped you from pursuing some of the goals that you want in life, traveling, home ownership, things like that. It's just, it was a tool that you used at that time, gave you the freedom to focus on student loan debt, because we know that student loan debt is not bankruptible. You can declare bankruptcy, and even in Chapter 7, wipe out everything, but not your student loans, right? So you still have to be responsible for those. Yeah. So, well, congratulations, Amanda. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your wonderful, amazing story with us. And I just know this is going to bring a lot of motivation to people that listen and help somebody else eventually get to the point where they can dream beyond being in debt, too. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. So, again, folks, I will say comparison is the thief of joy. So be inspired by Amanda's progress, but run your own race. Pretty soon, I hope to share your debt-free story on the Midday Money Show. If you want to check out Amanda's site or any of the resources that were mentioned in today's episode, please visit debtfreedivas.org for the episode How One Dreamer Dumped $47,000 in Student Loan Debt. While you're there, download a copy of our free book, Give Yourself a Raise in 21 Days, for more tips to save more of your hard-earned cash. Thanks for tuning in each week, and remember, today is all about planting seeds. Until we talk again, folks, have a great money week.